This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta 8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
I'm such a fat bag of shit. I just fucking sweat. It's so fucking hot here. I just drip sweat all the time. My laundry basket right now is full of wet t-shirts. There's like 10 of them from the last 2 days.
You're a sweaty pig. You're a sweaty pig.
I tried to build a deck. I built a deck this weekend.
It looked nice.
A 10 by 5 deck almost killed me. I'm so fucking sore that I can't move. I sweat. I don't know how I'm not losing weight. I sweat continuously for an entire day and a half.
Well, you might notice that your penis might be getting smaller because dudes with larger members, they tend to lose weight there first. They start to lose girth.
Mm. I haven't even looked down there, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, how could you?
It's the last thing I was worried about. I'm like, fuck, my back hurts so bad. I don't even care if I have a penis at this point.
I saw you just kind of laying there on your side, and you just kind of like pulled it out, and you didn't even touch it. You just did the shorts pulled down and just let it fly. And I was like, man, that's a tired gentleman.
That's how I pee now. I just pull the leg up on my shorts up high enough that the little guy is just there and right out.
That's how you piss at the beach. You're not going all the way to the thing. You just kneel down like this in the sand, but you sit on your heels, and then you pull your board shorts up into the side. You just let it fly right there. You dig a little hole, and you piss there.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah. I learned this one from some beach experts when I lived in Hermosa. From the years of 2004 to about 2008.
Wow.
I was beachside, kid.
I just always did it while I was laying on my back.
Mm.
Which was way...
It's more of a ballsy move. You got to get it off quick so you don't splash on your own self.
It was way messier, but at the same token, I figure people are just thinking I'm oiling up.
These kids are greasing up. We got some good shit coming on this weekend. By the way, I did get my 2 hours of cornhole practice in today, no matter what.
Nice.
I got it in this weekend. Okay, I'm putting in work. I'm getting these bags. I'm starting to really push some bags around, guys. I'm going to be a problem, I think, later this season.
Nice.
Later in this season, I'm going to be a serious problem for anybody that runs into me in a $10 blind draw or any sort of $20 or $30 tournaments.
Be ready.
I'm going to be a problem. I'm pushing bags all around town, bro. I was about to say something. I forgot what I was going to say, though.
I have been swimming in the deep end since Monday morning. I've just been swimming in the deep end. And let's say I'm a person who can't swim. So right now I'm a person who doesn't know how to swim, who's tiptoed too far out on the little angle that goes down into the deep end. And I try to turn around and creep myself back to the shallow end, but the slope is slippery and it keeps just dragging me deeper and deeper in there. Yeah. And I feel like I'm about to drown.
And what is the metaphorical situation you're in? We're talking about here.
I have been having meetings continuously since early Monday morning with different people within the documentary film industry, all the way, including to some people that, are tied to Netflix and entertainment lawyers, by the way, entertainment lawyers, plural, big people, the people that were behind the, The
Johnson versus Roe documentary case.
No, the Chef's Table, by the way, handled the deal for Chef's Table. So I'm a little out of my depth. And these fucking people are like, well, you're getting fucked on this. You're getting fucked on that. You need to do this. You need to do that. You've set this up. Oh, we're a $5,000 retainer. Oh, by the way, we bill hourly. Oh, fuck. How long have we been on the phone? This kind of shit, you know? And I'm just like, what? I just want to make a show. I got a story. I just want to film it and then get it out to people. When does that part come into play? And they're like, oh, what are you talking about? There's lots to do before you get to be creative. You got to fucking play the system and participate in this this old dude's club, you know? Like, yeah. Turns out, all I'm finding out is, you know who can't get anything on Netflix?
Who's that?
People who have never been on Netflix before. You've got to partner with someone who's already put shit on Netflix before Netflix will even entertain the thought of putting your new shit on Netflix.
And you have to pay a $5,000 retainer?
For an entertainment lawyer. To handle your shit. That's just to get started.
We're going to need everybody in here to go ahead and triple down on inviting people coming in and maybe buying every piece of 3Chi gummy that they can get their hands on. Todd's got to... as a retainer, is that monthly?
Retainer is just to get the ball rolling. That's what you pay to say, okay, I've hired you now. And then they work off that $5,000 till it's gone. And then you start
hourly.
Billable hours. And then bam, before you know it, I'm assuming you're 25, 30 grand deep. And then you're like, oh, I haven't even got to fucking start making a show yet.
Well, I could have just gotten fucked by 30K on this contract and just signed it and then been okay.
I know. I should have just taken the butt fucking that I was initially handed.
At least there's no money up front on a butt fucks, you know.
I'm literally losing my mind. I've never been so stressed in my life. I've just been sitting out there at my table in the back patio, just sweating because I'm a fat bag of shit, and just fucking ready. I'm just like, fuck this. What fuck show business? Are you fucking kidding me?
That's wild. I had some business meetings. I had some nice meetings this week with some business people to help me just kind of like put together some things. In order to start shopping for, shopping my shit for any kind of sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to put together a value package, and I got to put together something else I have written down, its name of it.
Nice.
And I got to do a bunch of other shit that I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm really pumped up for that.
I fucking love this business. You know how refreshing it is? I mean, it just really makes you fucking love the fact that you're in show business. When... Seven meetings, the first thing you hear is, yeah, that's probably the craziest, best true crime story we've ever heard. But that has nothing to do with this. That has nothing to do with whether or not it gets made. I'm like, really? The story has, really? They're like, oh, yeah, there's a whole business. It's called showbiz.
Yeah, it's the business of the show. That's
biz
the business.
Stands for business. Oh, well, fuck me.
I thought it was just a cool word that just kind of helped, help perpetuate what we're doing here. It's a biz, the biz.
Don't I just get up there and grab a microphone, do my thing? That's my show business. No.
Oh, man. But I guess when you have all that shit going on, it means there's a lot of money that could be changing hands. So, you know, that's also positive.
But
you're the only guy I know that got his own goddamn comedy album on Sirius, and you even got your own little numbers there per track to get paid off on. Because if people don't know that when you're a comedian, you have to have first you have to record the shit, and then you have to edit it per track, and then you have to get a number for each track,
yeah,
to keep track of for sound exchange. So a record label comes in and they quote unquote produce your shit, but at the end of the day, what they're doing is they're just charging basically 60% of your sound exchange ad revenue. And sound exchange is a company that. Pays that Sirius pays to pay the artists when they play the tracks on the air.
Yes.
And it's hard as balls. And I still just don't know how Todd did it all, but he did it. And he also got 60% more of his album than most people because of this. And all that one little thing.
Just buying my own little block of UPC numbers or whatever they're called. And for like $25, I bought like 1,000 of a block of 1,000 numbers. And I just assigned my own number to each track. It's like, dude, I would have given up 60% to a label to do that. Are you kidding me? Yeah,
exactly, dude.
But that's what happens is because it's convenient. Because they put you through so much bullshit to get your fucking art out into the world. You just throw your hands up like, fuck it. Who needs money?
Yeah.
Who needs money for me to be able to do my art? Just let me know, line up, and I'll just start passing it out.
It's a bunch of pigs, Todd, is what it is.
Bunch of pigs.
Bunch of absolute pigs. And I got really pissed off at the no label in particular, but the fact that I did get like 8 offers to do my CD, and now I figured out why. It's because they all just want that 60% sound exchange forever.
Forever.
Like forever, you get my money. Forever, you pig, because you just did some numbers to a track.
That's it. I paid for my own recording too, so there was no way I was giving away that 60%. Kidding me?
Because it's a larger percentage than the artist gets. How does it? It's like a 60-40 split. You would as an artist get 40, and then you as the label who produced your own shit gets 60.
I think so. Helium's passing around. You get 70% of it. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. But still, only for throwing a couple of numbers on, they get 30% forever on that album.
Forever, dude. Forever.
Hung out with a couple of funny comedians this weekend.
Who?
Mark. Well, first of all, Mark Ryan. If you don't know who Mark Ryan is. Oh, I
love Mark Ryan.
He is Steve Jessup. He's a very popular Facebook, YouTube guy. And he does some great videos. But, he was there. He was telling me, he hit the jackpot kind of early when he got like 5 albums on Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it just took him through and made him survive very comfortably throughout COVID I think he also produced his own shit.
Yeah, dude, there's people that I know right now that still make a decent yearly wage just off their Sirius XM royalties.
And just so you guys know, that's called mailbox money in this game.
Mailbox money, repurpose your shit.
I did get a $70. Check from Sound Exchange last year at some point.
Nice.
I don't know what it's for. I don't know why I got the $70.
I haven't seen one since I signed with a label. When I was not with a label, I was getting them motherfuckers on the regular, and I haven't got one since.
Why is that?
Well, I did get a message once in my account. I just went in there just to check it blindly, and because I have no notifications set up, and it said, hey, there's a conflict with all these tracks. Someone else is claiming a percentage of the royalty. So what happened was, I made my own album and paid to have it edited and all that stuff, and then I put it out and did what you said. I got my own, but I only sent it to SiriusXM, right? I sent it to, and it was on Raw Dog. It just played on Raw Dog only, but it was getting played a lot, so fuck it. And then I signed with a new label to do a new album, and basically all we did was, in part of that, was like, well, you can tag on to my other album, and take 40%, I get 60 for that one or something. No, they only wanted 10%. Of that one. But for some reason, since I signed with them, I haven't gotten a single fucking check. I don't know what's up.
You need to get that going, because that's some serious dough. You need to figure that out. That's
because now I'm seeing it's getting played again, because people will send me screenshots, fucking of them in their car and it's playing. I'm like, what's the fucking ankle gun story?
Where's the other 90%?
Where's my $4 for that listen? I don't know. I don't know how it works, man. I'm so confused. I'm over the biz. Can we just call it show from now on?
Yeah.
I'm in show. Take out the biz.
Show game?
Yeah. Show play.
Mm-hmm.
Show game. Show fun. I'm going to call it show fun.
That sounds like a good little Chinese dish.
Oh, I would eat the shit out of some show fun.
Let me get the chicken show fun, the fried. Let me get the pork show fun. And I'll also get the Migadishu pork.
Remember Shofun Hua? He was one of my favorite fighters for a while.
Oh, yeah. Shogun Hua.
Shofun, I call him now.
That's even better name, word.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrone Woodley fighting fucking one of the Paul brothers on Sunday.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm glad that he's fighting somebody real. Tyrone Woodley is an absolute champion. He's light middleweight or light heavyweight champ. Mm-hmm. Obviously, But again, it's not pure boxing, so it could be an issue, but I don't know. And I mean, I got to say that at least the Paul kid, no matter what, is training his nuts off like he's a fucking Russian.
Jake Paul is a gamer. Everyone, even MMA people now, recognize that he's a gamer. Like, he is a, he's a boxer. He's a real boxer who hits like a ton of bricks, evidently.
Well, I mean, he hit Nate fucking Robinson. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, these people don't get that you have to train for this sport. Just because you're athletic don't mean dick. Mm-hmm. Your feet are in the wrong place. Your hands are all over. Your balance is all fucked up. You can't throw punches. You get, I mean, listen, that punch Schmitty hit me with, I could take that punch 100 times, but my feet were parallel. They weren't, they were next to each other like a fucking Momo, you know, right. And I was on off balance. It was a perfect punch. And that's why I went down, because of my balance and my stance.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he hit me so hard. I could have took, if my back foot would have been planted, I would have just taken to the face.
Yeah, it just knocked you off balance, was all.
Yeah,
like was, you weren't like you were cloudy headed. Yeah,
yeah, it was a great punch.
But I listened, you know, to Chael Sonnen, and my boy Chael says he's got some boys who have been in the gym with Jake Paul, said he hits like a fucking ton of bricks, like he's legit.
Well, he looks like it. He's a big hossy ass mm-hmm. kid, bro.
Mm-hmm.
He works out. He lifts weights. He's fucking, you know, he's definitely has a chip on his shoulder.
Yep.
He's throwing punches with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, everybody hates him, and it fuels this kid.
I bet Tyrone Woodley, yeah, former UFC champion and a good stand-up guy. Great stand-up guy. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm excited for it, to be honest. This is the mm-hmm. first Jake Paul fight or any of the Paul brother fights that I've been actually excited about. Respect what they're doing. Respect yeah. the fuck out of it. But I'm really excited to see how he competes with the likes of Tyrone Woodley.
You know, and unlike the Mayweather fight, like Mayweather to me just went in there and, you know, fucked around to get the money.
It was just He basically told
everybody can blow me. I'm getting this payday. I'm going to go fucking right off. And I'm going to get me a Lamborghini boat too, like, you know, like McGregor.
Yep.
But Woodley has also a chip on his shoulder. And this is not going to be like the Mayweather fight with his brother, where he's just kind of floating around missing. This is going to be finally somebody with the ability can go and now just really trade blows.
Because,
mm-hmm. I mean, I watched a little Showtime behind the scenes like 24/7 today.
Mm-hmm.
I fell asleep in part of it, but I, you know, that was due to my fact that it took me 16 hours to get home yesterday driving. But, it was pretty electric. Like, this kid's in there. He's got a real dope ass trainers, great camp. They're both of them just putting in serious work. So, you know, I'm going to watch Rough and Rowdy this week too. Pac-Man Jones. I don't want to sit here and promote that, but Pac-Man Jones going heads up, you know, is going to be a good fight.
He's got mad squabbles.
I'm interested to see. I hope, you know, and they've got to be sparring. I mean, I know the Paul brothers are sparring, but I mean, this kid's got to be. I hope Pac-Man was just in there just fucking fighting.
Yeah, he will. He'll street fight. He don't care. He's crazy. He's fucking, I love him.
He is crazy.
You know, I would go on record as saying that I want to fight Corey Feldman.
Okay.
Remember Corey Feldman from our childhood? Yeah. I want to fight him from Goonies.
Yeah.
Like, I'm calling him out. I will beat the fuck out of some Corey Feldman.
And you know what? He probably deserves it.
Probably.
For some things, we don't even know what he did.
I don't like the way he dances. I don't like his music videos. I'll fucking take him off his feet right now.
His reign was too long, and he's still trying to ride the coat waves. I'm like, buddy, License to Drive was years ago, man.
Yeah, what have you done in the last decade and a half?
Besides wear a trench coat. No, you know what? Actually, I think he had some problems. He was getting, I guess he got touched a lot, and no one in Hollywood believes him or something like that. Like, he's getting real raw into the deal here.
He's having a tough go, but I'll still fight him. I don't care.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Maybe this will bring him out of his shell.
Yeah.
I think he's also a musician.
Yeah, he does a lot of music videos. He, you know, he thinks he can sing. He puts, you know, hey.
Yeah.
He's got a voice very much like mine down here, so I don't know how I thought he's a singer.
And that would be one of an angel, you're saying?
Yeah. I also, you know who I would not fight?
Who's that?
Shia LaBeouf.
He looks, he's buff. He's another guy with a chip, bro.
He had, you know what? He's really like working out. Like, you could tell. I just saw him on Hot Ones. It might have been aired a year ago mm-hmm. or something, but I just saw it. And I'm like, dude, he's really jacked and he's really cool. Now, he's got some fucked up issues too, I think, with anger. That's another reason. I don't know why. I think he gets in that ring, I'm going to have some problems. Every fucking piece of hatred he has toward his dad and his mom is going to be unearthed on my face.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking with Shia LaBeouf. I love your movies, bro. I don't want to fight.
Listen, Transformers is in my top three.
Come on.
Of all time.
Peanut Butter Falcon might be the greatest feel-good movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, just a name. That's just a great name.
Come on.
It's almost an angelic name. Like, it makes me feel like someone's holding me in their arms and I'm a newborn baby and I'm just kind of used to being in a float tank of a belly, but here I am in this person's arms and guess what? I'm comfy.
Shia LaBeouf and a lovable character who has Down syndrome together in a buddy movie is just, come on.
Oh, come on.
I cried. Radio, I laughed.
You thought you loved Radio Flyer. Come on.
Oh, come on.
Cuba Gooding Jr., forget about that.
Radio. Dude, he was a good manager, too. He was a great equipment manager. I think that wasn't talked about enough afterward.
People did not recognize the work he put. First one in there, last one to leave type dude out of the equipment room.
Things were always in order. The helmets were always lined up in order every day before practice. Just perfect, reach up and grab yours.
It was there. It was like if your helmet wasn't there, then you probably went to go talk to security.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, something happened to radio.
Yeah, something wrong with radio. Where's radio? The helmets are out of order. That never happened. There was not one practice where your helmet wasn't where it was supposed to be.
I've been in this university for 21 years. And let me tell you something. Ask me how many times I've seen an out-of-place helmet.
Never.
None. Zero.
Never.
Zilch. Nada. Nunca.
Nunca. Let's talk about Cuba Gooding Jr. for a minute.
He's a little bit of a hot water right now, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he got popped for some sexual harassment, some sort of rape stuff.
He got Me Too'd, right?
Yeah, but he got like on the other. He got like Me Too'd, but like even before Me Too, like it seems like he's pretty much in hot water. But I don't know. I don't know all the case nuances, the ins and outs.
So here's the thing, right? So when that happens to you and you're a superstar, Cuba Gooding Jr. at one point was on top of the world.
Yeah,
we just talked about it. Radio. I don't know that
American Gangster. Nicky Barnes.
He was in that movie with Robert De Niro where they were the Navy deep sea divers.
Yeah. The list goes on.
And then all of a sudden, boom. Now, here's what it's very much like Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal, similar accusations against him, right? But for some reason, it's still cool as long as you only do movies that go straight to streaming platform. Or it used to be straight to DVD. Now it's just straight, right?
Because straight to the stream.
You can right now find Cuba Gooding Jr. He has 473 movies you never heard of on Netflix.
Yeah. Right now. You know why he got into Netflix? Because he knew somebody that had already been in there.
The good old boy system.
Yeah. That's what happened, bro.
He said, you can't keep me out of Netflix. I already know somebody who's got stuff on Netflix. And they're like, shit. You're right.
I'll tell you right now. Well, you know what's worse than having no Coronas? Just having one Corona.
Just one Corona, dude. Because I've never drank just one Corona in my entire life.
It goes down smoother. Like, it's almost like if you could whip up yogurt and make it I don't know if you can make anything smooth as a first ice cold Corona. It's like a two drink, three drink pop and it's gone. It's like the warm up, buddy.
What's your stance on Corona Ritas?
Corona Ritas?
The big ass margarita with the Corona turned upside down that constantly feeds into the margarita.
That's probably what they're drinking in the waiting room in heaven, bro, when they're getting classified. That's a goddamn cocktail.
I mean,
if you could double down, if I could double fist without double fisting, and it's even better than double fisting ever was, then I'm all about it.
That's what I'm saying, because if I'm on vacation, I have to have a Corona to my left, a margarita to my right, and go back and forth. And then somebody thought, just like the fucking Reese, oh, you got your Corona in my margarita. You got your margarita in my Corona. No, what we have here is a Corona-rita.
Corona-rita.
And it's absolutely heaven.
I'm not sure if you know this, but there's a 60-40 chance here that I blow your mind. But these are also done with mango margaritas and blue moons, friend.
What?
Yeah.
Are you
at the Dallas Improv in 2013, I was with their Fluffy. And we walk in. It was, he did a pop-up show. And it was wall to wall. It was butt fuck. It was buck ass wild in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I go and I come around the corner and the wait staff's coming around with a big ass tray with three big ass, you know, those fat round margarita 32 ounce mugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they even have a special little clip on the thing. So the beer, it clips onto to the edge of the margarita glass. Yep. That has a thing where the beer to go in it. And it was, they had the Corona ones. And then they had, I saw it. It had a peachy looking mango margarita or a peach margarita with like an orangish color. And they had the Blue Moon in it. And I shit my pants and I drank seven of them and threw up.
Why do they call it the Blue Moonarita?
I don't know. The Blue Moonarita has to be, right?
Gotta be. God, I never even thought of that.
It has to be, bro.
People are always beating me to all the best ideas.
Dude, I mean, listen, we can start doing this with craft beers, like these chocolatey beers. With some sort of like chocolatey frozen drink.
Oh, what if
we're not even thinking, bro?
What if we put it in a White Russian? A chocolatey malt.
Oh, a frozen White Russian with yes. like a delicious, some sort of like maybe three clown shoes, three Mexican chocolate porter stout kind of
yes.
thing. Oh, what?
Come on.
This is going to be an episode for sure, Chef.
Jesus, you got to make that, bro.
Man, bro.
You got to make that. When you do morning radio, whenever you have those obligations for when you're doing stand up, does the wacky radio, morning radio guy, is he always like, they call him the $20 chef. What, Sean, what exactly is a $20 chef? I can't even go through a drive through at McDonald's for less than $20. What is that about? And then you have what? To
like, rear, and then a little fucking cowbell, and then fucking gong.
And then you're like, all right, calm down, guy.
I have the deal. You know what's actually hilarious? I figured out the other day. I was looking at my SoundCloud, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna send it to you.
Okie dokie.
And I found one of my best morning radio interviews in the history of my career. And these guys loved it so much. I blew these kids away and they put it up on SoundCloud. They're like, that was awesome, man. We had to put it up on SoundCloud.
Nice.
And I randomly fucking listened to it the other day. And I was like, oh shit. I forgot that this was on there, bro.
Can you export the audio file from SoundCloud?
You know what? I don't know, but I could definitely do, we could do video, whatever, screen record.
Will it play on here? Let's let it play.
Okay.
That way, or if you think you can strip the audio file, I'll just put it in post-production. Post-production, for those listening, is production that happens post-recording.
Yeah. Post, guys.
Hence post-production.
Yeah, I will. Maybe we could throw it in there, like a couple of minutes of it or something, because I definitely completely spaced out that I had this thing, and I was like, holy fuck. And then I put it, I was in my car on one of these car rides, and it just popped off. And I was like, oh shit, your boy out here putting in work on the radio. And fucking, I feel it was a date. It might've been like, no, I think it was Toledo where it popped off was definitely, I'm pretty sure it was in Toledo.
Well, if we can figure out how to extract the audio file and then bring it in, it will play right now. If it can't, then you heard just a moment of silence, and then we'll continue with the podcast.
Fuck yeah, bro. I definitely have it somewhere, and I'll fucking get it to you. I'll find it in this thing. But yeah, man. So you know, I had a good time. We had the crowds and were in that city this weekend. We're just
in Louisville.
They were just awesome, man. They were just fucking awesome. You know, even the light-ass Thursday crowd was dope. You know, people were just into it. The crowd was going great.
Nice.
And, you know, it was just nice, man.
Mark Ryan, who popped in, did some sets, right? So yep. I forgot to mention this earlier. If those of you listening, if you've ever seen the guy who gets the DUI on his lawnmower, Steve Jessup, that's the work of Mark Ryan. Just great. Great video shit.
I rewatched the one where he's drunk as shit, you know, his character, and he rebuilds the Barbie Jeep to he adds more batteries to it, flattens off the back, adds some wood things to it, and he puts a gas tank on the back that's full of whiskey that has a little tube, a windshield wiper, because he did it in his Jeep too, his actual car, where he emptied out his windshield wiper fluid, put a new tank in with it with whiskey. And then so he's riding around in his little Barbie car, and he's got a little hose that comes out of the dashboard that he fills his whiskey glass up with, bro. It's so good. It's so good, bro. I mean, I can't explain how him just hauling ass and doing donuts and shit in a Barbie Jeep is awesome, especially because he's hammered.
Yeah. All right. So here's the SoundCloud link. I don't think I can extract the audio from it, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold it up and play it. Let's see how it sounds.
Yeah.
And I'm going to allow track my activity. No, you're not tracking my activity.
Why do you want to track our shit, bro?
Girl, DJ noise has ever been made on a hometown rock station.
We won that.
That's not a hometown rock
station.
Here we go. Sean, say your last name for me. I don't want to screw it up.
Latham.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Sean and it always Latham. Follows by beow, 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 beow. What's up, Milwaukee?
How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
You know, I just realized I think that's the first time that beow, 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 beow DJ noise has ever been made on a hometown rock station. That's not a hometown rock noise. I'm a pioneer.
So one of the things we do, of course, Sean comes in and I said, so what do you want to talk about? And he goes, yep, you know what? I always talk about my lazy eye, but I got great hair. And okay, so I got to talk about it. You, am I looking at the right? Which
one? Locking on the eye, looking at you. That's what you want to do. I mean, this is the hometown rock station. You rock with the straight eye. All right, don't worry. My lazy eye is out rocking at another station. Let him do what he wants to do. It's a one-man gig. Pirates wore patches and made it to a new land. That's crazy. They didn't have compasses or the GPS. They had the sun and a lot of beer. I can handle one strong eye. Because everybody's got something wrong with them, right?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to perfect people out there. But but that's why I don't have a lazy eye. Because I got, look at this John Stamos. Look at this.
Your hair is beautiful, man.
I mean, that's shine. That's genetic.
Thick black hair right there.
Yeah, yeah. Right there.
Whoa, it moves.
It does. You know, because you got to give some, you got to give the highlights for the dudes, and you got to throw a little hair in there for the honeys.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to tap all markets.
Women do love the good hair, though, right? I mean, that's like the big thing. Yeah,
well, it's definitely a big deal. Like, I would way rather have a lazy eye and wonderful hair than have awesome eyes and just be bald. That's got, you don't want to be, you know, like, you can't pull off, like, having nice eyes is only cool when you're looking at somebody. If you're blinking or sleeping or not, or just by yourself or something, no one cares. It's like, oh, look, it's just another dude with normal, nice eyes. Lazy eyes are popular right now, guys. I got three people in the Milwaukee metropolitan area ask me for a picture because I have a lazy eye. Now, they had no idea I did stand up. They're just like, that eye is so sweet. I said, yeah, this is a hometown rock, Milwaukee, 96.5.
All right, so when you were growing up, though, I bet you didn't quite love it as much as you do now.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah.
Kids are the worst, but I also learned how to talk crap so well, like, you know, just the verbal sparring.
Sure.
And I'm like, that's my favorite thing. Like, now I really appreciate a creative lazy eye joke. When somebody gives me something good, I'm like, dude, I have never heard that one.
Who would make a lazy eye
right.
joke?
Everybody has a lazy eye joke. Everybody's got, hey, you should use this in your act. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I should use that one in my act. That's a good one. I can see people on the side. That was awesome. You're the most creative guy ever. Wow, we should trade lives.
Why are you working at this car rental counter?
Wow, dollar rental car doesn't know what they got. What?
All right, I just Googled it. There's 1,190,000 pages for lazy eye jokes.
See what I'm saying?
I had no idea. Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, but you did. You turned it around. You made it cool.
Well, they're real cool. The other day, it was a girl after a show. She goes, I have a lazy eye, too. Look, first of all, I always know. Like, I can walk into a room, a nightclub with 400 people, and I know the guy in the far back of the room by the coat check. He's got a lazy eye. You just know, right? And this girl's telling, I'm like, look, you don't have a lazy. She's like, yeah, I do. Look. So we're sitting here. I'm like having this argument. Like, it's so cool now that I'm telling her, no, you don't have a lazy eye.
Yeah, right.
But the dude in the booth over had a glass eye. And he's like, yo, you guys with your weak, lazy eye, can you pop it out and shine it? Then relax. He popped it out, shined it.
That's, I love the fact that there's a guy driving in Milwaukee now who's bald saying, you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
I wish I had great hair and a lazy eye. Yeah.
Well, you know, you just, you know, I'm cool with it, but, you know, maybe a lot of women like bald dudes. That's why they also win.
Yeah,
you
they
know?
Do. They win, too, because there's somebody for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Right. And I like what you said, that everybody has something. Mm-hmm. Everybody has something.
And once you really just hone in on that and you just accept it, it's so much of a smoother ride.
Exactly.
So much of a smoother
ride.
That's
who I am. Where does the sense of humor come from? Does it come from like a
now on the regular radio
or an
stuff
uncle
here?
Or anything like that? You know?
And then it goes. Now it's the get to know me a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I've already bought some, get their attention, you know?
Uh-huh. And I'll even figure out how to end this in a second. I can't turn it off. It's taken over. I have a bunch of ads now. It wants me to like a track. I don't want to like a track.
Hit the two lines. Hit the two lines. Hit the pause.
I'm just going to. I did the old center drop. Boom. Gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking. That was fucking gold, dude.
I mean,
that's the kind of morning show appearance that in a sleepy little town will fucking sell out your show. They're like, what the fuck?
What's this fucking maniac doing in town, bro? I love it, dude.
That's so great. I had to go on this TV show. I always liked going on the morning TV shows where you have the one I did. God, where was that? Springfield, maybe? Springfield, Illinois. And I had the two morning show hosts and then the weather girl on the other side of me, and I'm just sandwiched in the middle, and I just ate that shit up. We went to fucking town. I stayed for three more blocks than I was supposed to.
That's
we went
awesome,
to like
bro.
Four commercials. I wanted to get up. I was like, can I get up and do the weather thing?
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't think so. And there was a guy back there waving his hands with the cut sign across his neck. No, 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 no.
I'm like, no, the guy can't do the fucking weather too. I jumped in on a cooking segment before on one of those shows a couple of different times, bro. They had the cooking guy over there ready to fuck some shit up, and I hopped in on it.
Nice.
From over there from the benches. Those ones I wish I could do more of, just so I can get more comfortable and really just be a fuck face and just have a good time. You know who really does awkward at those and it really crushes is Sam Morrell. He says some wild shit on those news shows in the morning.
I can imagine.
Which, by the way, I don't know if that's how many people are watching that.
You know, it depends what city you're in. Because I've had people before come up, and you know, it's never like going to make a difference in my paycheck. But like, you know, there'll be a table, and they're like, "Oh, we saw you on the morning show, or we heard you on the morning radio show, and you were so
radio,
funny."
We
got to come out.
I think way more people listen to the radio than watch that news. Well, then I know this, but like my lady, most mornings, like before she goes to work,
mm-hmm.
or you know, even when she's not going to work, she usually goes upstairs, makes her coffee, and puts on the morning news, bro. And that's mm-hmm. it. She puts on the local news, and that's what we're watching for at least a good hour out the gate out the morning.
Yeah.
That and she gets her coffee and then she's, you know, then she's off and running, but she has to go watch the local news. So, you know, I guess there is a demographic of people who do enjoy just in general is their little go-to thing in the morning when they're getting ready or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a show here that's called Indie Style and it's the morning TV show. And we used to have to do it all the time for Morty's.
When I first moved out to Indy, I remember dropping. I was hanging out with Kurt Fox, and I had to drop him off at Indy Style. He destroyed, bro.
I bet
he destroyed. By the way, there's a new show on Hulu called Reservation Dogs. He plays in it. It's awesome.
He's in that.
He's fucking I got a great role in it, and it's a great show. I watched episode one. Like right, that's what I forgot. I spaced out. I was watching that when you were like, I sent the link, fucko, and I was like, oh shit, it's already 8:15. My bad. And and I ran down, but I was watching episode two already. And dude, Kurt. He's one of my favorite people. If you guys don't know who Kurt Fox is, you got to get to know him too, man. He's been in so much stuff. He's a journeyman actor. He's always in like all these cool shows and things, but never like nothing like. Well, he was in that one really, really popular show, The Community.
Yeah.
You know, he's always in really awesome popular shows. And he always has these cool roles. And, you know, he's never like The Rock, like the main guy in a movie, but no, he's always a
character
awesome,
actor.
Yeah, always an awesome character. And it's some dope ass television show, bro. Whether it's a cop show or Community, now it's this. He is, but his stuff is so funny. His comedy is so funny. But the best part about him is just talking to the guy after the show, bro. You feel like you've walked into some sort of like shaman's tent and you got this guy just hitting you. And he doesn't have ego. He doesn't have pride. He does. He's just like this being of knowledge and information. And he thinks that, you know, and
we need to have him on. We need to have him on this show, dude.
I'm going
to
call him after this. So I'm going to hit him up. Cause
yeah, let's have him on the next episode. Cause I love him so much. Like he and I spent a night at a strip club together and he dropped all kind of wisdom. Like, dude, he is. And for one, people should know he is one of the top joke writers I've ever seen. Like, I'm talking about a purist, like short form, brilliant
go to
jokes.
His Instagram. And all it is he drops his one lines over pictures.
Oh, it's so good.
And it's so good.
He was married at one time to Clint Eastwood's daughter. Like, just the coolest life. He's a professional tennis player. He teaches tennis to rich people still. Like, just a cool ass dude.
Kirk Fox, bro. Here's one of his last memes he put up. Today I looked up dishonorable discharge and was surprised to learn it had nothing to do with STDs. Okay. He's working with Tom Segura right now.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Here's another meme. Ladies, unless you're very sick or extremely dangerous, should not be dancing in glass boxes or cages. I don't know, it's a picture of somebody dancing in a glass box. My name is Kirk Fox. Sometimes I pretend I'm a cop. I know it's against the law, but that's because I'm a good cop. I know the law. Just shit like that, bro. And it's just this picture of him just being a fucking goof, bro.
It's so good, man.
And, man.
We need to have him on the show. He's so fucking, he's epic.
Listening he's a to legend. Him, listening, and I remember one night at Morty's, we were sitting there afterwards. It was just, I'm not sure exactly who else was there, but Bowers was there. I was there. Kirk was there. And somebody else that just didn't understand who they were speaking with was there. And they were one of them people that's kind of like, you know, earlier in your career, you're bigger than what's the saying?
You're too big for your britches.
Yeah, you're too big for your britches. And you feel like you're farther off than you are, which we all, you know, kind of go through when we get to a level where we start to do well a little bit. You know, you get at least get more laughs than you've been getting, and then you think you should be the middle act, you know, and all that. Right. It was one of them situations, and I never heard somebody get broke down so perfectly and like so and so rightfully so. I mean, the guy was so was such a skewed dude, and to hear Kirk Fox ask this man questions and just bring him to the. I just sat there and I honestly to this day, I talk to him, I'll call him up and I'll just be like, thank you, man. I needed to talk to you. Like I needed this conversation. I needed to get my head back to normal. I needed to have somebody I'm telling you, it's like you're talking to a fucking shaman or something.
Yes. Yes. I need him to calm me down on this.
Yeah.
This fucking industry shit, because I'm about to jump off a ledge. But he's just a perfect dude because he's been through so much. He'll be, and I know what he'll say too. He'll be like, listen, you're fine.
Yeah.
It's your story, right? That's what you said. It's your story. Then it's going to find a home. Don't sweat it, bro. If that person doesn't want it, the next one will. Like, he's just so, he has patience for days. His whole career seems like it's like that, right? Like, he just,
yeah, because it's never.
He's like the Bruce Lee of comedy. He be water.
Yeah,
be water.
Be water. Oh. That's a really good way to kind of put Kirk Fox.
Yes.
You know what's funny? Even before I watched the show today, I was sitting there and I was like, man, I have to call Kirk Fox. I haven't talked to him for a few months, and it's kind of too long. And then I go, oh fuck, his new show. I haven't popped it in yet. So I started watching and going ham, and I'm just like, oh, this is beautiful. This show is awesome. I love the setting. I love how they're shooting it. It's just something that it's one of them shows where I'm like, man, that's what I want to be on, one of them shows.
Speaking of shows that our friends are on, it's her own show, the Ms. Pat Show.
Yes, Ms. Pat Show.
So I got myself BET Plus. If you want to watch it, you got to sign up for BET Plus. That's where it is. And listen, it's really good.
I bet it's funny as fuck, bro.
Funny as fuck. It will take you a minute to adjust because they did this by design. It's a throwback to like the heyday of sitcoms, like mm-hmm. All in the Family and the Jeffersons and those type of shows that also like had a lot of fucking real shit to them. Like mm-hmm. They were hilarious, but they also had some real world shit to get worked out in each episode. And that's what this does. So for a minute, you're like, wait a minute, this isn't what I'm used to watching because it's very sitcom-y and it was filmed in front of a live studio audience. It's not like Shameless and the shows we see now. It's sitcom. It's in its purest form. But you know what? You'll get used to it really quickly. And it's so good. Like I am so – we've had our – ups and downs, me and Miss Pat, right? I've been on the outs for a long time with her, and then we made up. And like, I am so happy. It's one of those, like, when you watch it, you'll want to tear up. You're like, oh my God, the lady found it.
And you know what else? What else I love about this show, about her show, that I haven't even seen it yet, is I know that she's been working on it for 3 fucking years at least.
Yes.
This has been stuck
it up.
Since before the old Morty's, like, Well, not the old one. The new one is when I found out about it. But mm-hmm. She's been working on this probably since 2017. No problem, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Going back and forth to L.A., doing this, doing that, all this different writing.
It was getting picked up. It would get put off. It was back. It put up on a shelf, like, over and over. But Lee Daniels always believed in her, and she fucking gutted that out like a warrior.
Yep.
And now it's paid off, man. It's a really good show.
Yeah, I mean... I remember her talking about, we have to restart it all. We got to rewrite it all. We got to do this. Mm-hmm. And you know what that is? That's that show business bullshit. And she endured out of Indiana, went the Hollywood route, and is fucking working. And of course it's working. It's her. She's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another awesome thing. That, you know what? But it's also motivating for you, for me, for everybody listening. That's a 3.5, probably 3+ year project finally. Just now, it might be longer than 3 years. It might be 4 years or 4.5 years that she's been working on this. Because I've been gone already. I've already been here. This is going to be my second year, 19, 20, 21. 3 years already.
Yeah.
Of, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yeah.
I mean, they started fucking with it.
So it might have been five years
we went to work for Pat.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember being excited for it. I was like, that's so fucking awesome. And I think it was Fox back then that was picking it up.
It was. You're right. That was the initial mm-hmm. offer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was through Fox. And she got the deal, whatever that, what are they, you know, in Hollywood, you always wanted to get the, what's it called? It's some kind of, it's like a retainer, basically. But
yeah.
It was called some kind of, you get a deal through somebody. It's like called
a holding deal.
Yeah, but where the company, the company gives you whatever the network is. They give you $300,000 for the year and over the next 2 years, and everything, every show idea, everything you come up with goes to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't make a deal with anybody else during that time.
And in LA, when someone got a deal, it was like, it was the biggest thing. Like they got a hold, whatever the fuck the name of it is, there's a certain name for it, but it's basically a holding deal of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was always like, that was like the biggest shit. Cause that was the money. That's like the biggest money you can get. Before the show even shows up, it's like they're just buying your they're taking
development
your
deal. It's called a development deal.
There it is. Good one.
Boom.
Yeah, development deal. And if you got a development deal, bro, you are the fucking man or the woman. And
I remember Gary Goldman said he got one. He went out and bought a fucking farm in New York upstate. Like fucking, then they never made a show. But you know what? He got paid to not fuck with anybody else for a year.
Like, I'll do that, bro.
Yeah.
I'll sign a development deal.
All day.
300K.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking cool to see your friends fucking mm-hmm. accomplish shit, dude. Especially somebody like her that came up hard. Goddamn, she came up hard.
Yeah.
Had a kid at 14, slinging crack in order to fucking have a life. Like,
just doing those podcasts and listening to her talk and being in green rooms. Over those years in Indy, being lucky enough to be friends with her and just sit around and talk shop. Oh, it's so beautiful. There was a moment in Indy. There was a time in Indy where it was just like nothing but these like on the low heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a ton of people out there. And then you had these other guys. I mean, I was mecca. Oh, man, I definitely missed I missed you owning a comedy club. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I miss you. Because even on the off nights, if there was only 10 people, still had a great time.
Fuck yeah, we did. God, we could use that right now. Damn. Son of a bitch. But, you
way
know,
to sell it, pussy. Way to have a building that got bought out by corporate America.
We'd have never survived COVID anyway.
Fuck no it. Way. Hell no. Nah. Nah. I'll take a ton of PPV loans, whatever it's PPEs.
Yeah, we would have fucked that up and probably went to jail or something.
I wonder when we start hearing more people getting popped for the PPE money.
It'll come around. It'll come coming, around. Bro. Those it's cases coming, are coming. Be a lot of unemployment fraud coming around. Mm-hmm. They come at me about my unemployment, and they're like, I got a phone call, and they were like, yeah, we just said, you're trying to secure a full-time job? And I go, well, not really. Have a return to work date. Just waiting for COVID to end. Shows come back. They've come back, and then they were taken from me. It's just been this cycle. So I don't want to accept a full-time job with somebody because then I'll have to quit when work comes back to normal. And they're like, oh, well, yeah, but to get unemployment, you sign a thing that says you're going to look for full-time employment. I said, but it also says to give an explanation if you have a return to work date. And I said, plus nothing in the fucking system fits what I do for a living. So I just kind of just making shit up that fits as best as it can, not fabricating shit, but you know what I mean? Like those questions don't apply to me. So I'm creative in my answer to try to make it fit truthfully, but I got to work the system. And she was like, well, and I said, all right, how about you just fucking end my unemployment then, I guess. Like, I'm not at that stage where I'm going to sign up as an Amazon delivery driver yet. So <Yeah. laughs> if I got to do that, I also don't need unemployment because I'm pretty sure I can get that job tomorrow. So so they fucking, all right. And I was like, okay. Cause I don't want to get in trouble. I'm like, am I in trouble? And she's like, no, but when I'm saying it, I go, oh, I get it. I get it. I'm not doing it correctly. Okay.
Oh, wait. So she said, yeah, you could?
Get in trouble? No, she said, you're not in trouble. We're just trying to, we're just trying to check up with people to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. And part of that means you're supposed to be looking for a full-time job, like any job. And I'm like, oh, I just thought it meant like a job that I like. not any job. Or a job that fits my career,
I'm
a radio host. Whatever.
That's what I had to put on there. I was like, oh, yeah, radio, whatever.
Yeah.
I mildly attempted, and then they just I got winded by the fucking 7,000th loophole and gave up.
Mm. They make that shit hard, dude. They make it hard.
But what's important is, Todd, on Wednesday at 11:15, I go back to get my hair cut again by the guys who cut my hair better than ever been cut, outside of when Kristen did my shit and it made me a little bit more cool back in the day when I first went with the undercut.
Yeah, I saw Kristen and Jason McAfee at Clayton's concert there at the Yard in Fishers.
Are you going to their wedding?
Great couple. I doubt I get an invite. I don't get invites to those things anymore. But if I do, I'll be glad to go. But
I definitely got the invite. So they already went out. So
oh, nice.
I guess you found out live on air you're not going.
Probably.
You want to be my plus two?
Shit, that's okay. I still love you, J-Mac. I get it.
Yeah, and you know what? He probably don't even know, bro. I wouldn't think him. No, I see Kristen taking the driver's seat on the organizational part. And me and Kristen have been homies for so long.
Yeah,
like we were always homies, dude. Like we always were boys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got. I'm pretty sure that's how I got the invite.
Yeah. I mean,
and they like my lady, and then she likes my girl too, so that always helps.
Nice. Also, I don't check my mail very often, so
it could be in there. You don't even know.
Maybe
went to the wrong shed, bro. Maybe they sent it to the wrong shed somewhere else.
Could be.
Now you got multiple sheds. We're thinking about opening up a few more sheds in your backyard. If you were interested in possibly maybe investing in becoming a shed owner in Todd's backyard shed, Ted. Shed area, then
Shed Town.
Listen, we're thinking about, obviously, once more of the sheds come in and we can start getting a little property tax flowing in, we can start with the infrastructure of the decking walkway to link them all up together.
If I get two more sheds back there, I can incorporate it as its own town.
So we're two sheds away from Shed Town. Mm-hmm. And that would start, obviously, bringing in Shed Town property taxes. You know, we're looking at probably a good $1,000 a year per shed.
I will be the mayor of Shed Town.
Can I be the, can I be a cop in Shed Town?
Yes, you can be the marshal, the town marshal.
Oh, fuck.
Are you kidding me? What a cool ass fucking job that is. You can just walk up and down the little boardwalk that ties all the sheds together.
Flick my hat up.
We'll put you a little rocking chair out in front of your little marshal's office shed.
What kind of vehicle should I patrol your backyard on?
I'm thinking it's got to be golf cart, right?
I think so.
Horse, or we get you we go full out and get you a horse, bro.
Maybe we go horse, dude. Maybe we go horse.
Tie it off back there.
You got room. You know, we can go back there, clean up some of the glass bottles, put a little fucking little area back there for the horse to hang out.
Yeah, build a little stable back there.
I brought it to my lady's attention there's a strong chance that I become some sort of bonsai tree master. I'm balls deep into the bonsai tree Instagram accounts, and I am blown away by what they're making.
When are you going to buy one?
Well, you know, you have to.
Don't buy one. We have to do this right. You and I have to go to Okinawa, and we have to rappel down a cliff to find just the right bonsai tree, and then we carefully remove it from its little dirt pocket in the rock.
Yes.
And then we bring it back to the States.
Well, I know that my lady is definitely tired of me talking about the bonsai tree today, but I was showing her pictures and she was blown. I mean, she had to hide it because I know she was like, she's already telling me like, you're a dumbass. Like, because it takes like some of these trees this guy grows, bro. We're talking 25 years of action here. I mean, I'm not going to see results, some serious fucking results. I'm going to have to buy some that are well ahead of my time.
Nice.
So I can already have them and not have to worry, you know, worry about making them grow for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot get enough of this goddamn bonsai trees on the Instagram, bro. I'm going to share this with you, and I want you to look because you need to, bro. These guys are unbelievable.
I have one request. Request. Once you actually go into full bonsai mode, trimmer guy mode, then you have to get a white gi top with the bonsai tree patch on the back.
Oh, I want that.
A la Daniel-san LaRusso.
I want one so bad. This guy, he knows how to take the branches, like a perfect branch, and make it from a big tree and then replant the branch somehow. And then I send them to you so you can enjoy them after this fucking podcast is over. And you can look and you can enjoy you some bonsai trees, Todd.
You're going to get announced at like center fucking stage of the All Valley. And they're going to be like, Sean Latham from Miyagi-Do Karate. And you're going to grab the mic. You go, Miyagi-Do, Miyagi-Do Karate, Miyagi-Do Karate.
And then
it's going to be epic.
And there's a strong chance I'm going to get one of the fucking little drums with the little things on the edge.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, those little drums with the little beads that you spin and they pop the drum.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal, a very big deal in Mexican border towns. Those are $5-6 kid toys, and they sell like hotcakes. I had about 10 of those as a kid, bro.
It's the family secret to Miyagi karate.
Yeah. Remember the whole crowd out of nowhere just busted out the little drums?
Yeah.
With the little fucking beads on them?
Then all of a sudden he couldn't be hit. He was perfectly timing the twist of his hips so that the guy would miss when he twists to the left, and then he would come back with the left fucking hook. Bah! Like, he just kept doing that over and over. Like, it was so simple, bro. It was there the whole time.
And once the cat was out of the bag, that once a bunch of people started doing that all at once in unison, that you can't be touched.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we used to have awesome fights in fifth, sixth grade, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I bought 24 of those things for my whole class. They're only $2.
Nice.
I saved up all my grass cutting money.
Nice.
And I bought them for everybody, and I beat the fuck out of 12 kids that year. I couldn't be touched. There's nothing I can do, bro. And I went 24-0 that year. And then I went to seventh grade. And then after seventh grade, no one would play along with them or do the drums with me. So I kind of lost my superpowers. And then I just gave up after that.
Nice. My favorite bit of all time. One of them. The Gary Goldman Karate Kid bit. Oh, Jesus. If done right, no can defend. I can defend it. How about you just don't run forward with your face? I'm butchering it, but you get it.
Oh, man.
All right, brother.
Kid, bro. Hey,
all right. good luck with the bonsai future there. Let me know when you finally start getting them in.
When I'm ready to purchase, I'll let you know. I did send you both of my new favorite bonsai tree accounts. I mean, nice. This guy has a fucking forest. One of them is a little bonsai forest, and it's just unbelievable, bro.
Oh, I love it. Look at that.
These trees are incredible, man.
Well, as soon as you get your first tree, I will be on Amazon ordering you your extra large white gi with the bonsai tree patch on the back.
Well, I appreciate you, homie.
Miyagi-Do Karate. All right, brother. Love you.
Love you, buddy.